Hey, explorers, welcome to episode 313. I said that very weird. Of the GDR Now podcast. We're the first English speaking podcast focusing on the Asian theme parks like Tokyo Disney Resort. And you can find us up on our website at trexplorer.com and on social media all under the same name. I'm one of your hosts, Chris. I'm the one that you see on camera all the time on YouTube, usually stuffing my face. And joining as always is the wonderful Patricia.
Sup, hi, guys. Patricia. it's me. I work with the city, like with tourism, and I am the one taking photos and getting back into like photography in general and really enjoying that. And I guess I'm the one, oh my God, who had so much fun at the Urayasu Sanjan Matsuri, and I can't wait to tell you everything about it.
Yes, I can't wait to hear what you did, because unfortunately I didn't get to go. I was not feeling great, so I didn't get to participate this year. But I guess I have to wait
four more years. I'm already counting down the years. I am excited. I didn't because we were covering it. We were taking photographs and stuff. I didn't really get to participate hands on like I did 8 years ago. 8 years ago, Chris. 8 years ago. But I really, really want to like carry the Mikoshi or portable shrine next time, like 100%. I'm like, I would probably have to do some kind of coverage, but I really want to do it. It's just such a blast.
Oh, that's so fun. I love that kind of stuff.
Oh, man.
So I guess just give an overview of the Urayasu Sanja Matsuri.
Okay, so let's look at the history. As you know, Urayasu used to be not just a poor village, but actually three very pretty poor villages. We have three shrines, and that's why it's called the Sanja Matsuri. We have Toyoke Shrine, which was founded in 1157. Seiryu Shrine, the oldest shrine, founded in 1196. Inari Shrine, founded in 1689. Wait, I feel like the dates are wrong on this. But anyway, Seiryu is the oldest one. I thought Toyoke is newer. Hold on. Well, don't worry about it.
A long time ago. The important thing is there,
like 1,000 years ago, right?
Yeah.
We usually have about 100 portable shrines moving about the city over the 3 days. So if you're wandering around the historic area, you will probably bump into them. It's a very lively event. It used to be three separate festivals held at each shrine, but since 1925, they decided to do it all at one time. it got pretty crazy. Like I said, the villages were really poor, and Urayasu Village was very, very poor. So this is like a big deal. And I think you probably heard me talk about it on the podcast before, but this used to be a pretty intense festival to the point where it got banned for a while. And the reason is that they would they kind of relied on donations from businesses, right? So if they didn't get donations, you know, they would kind of like maybe get revenge, you know, bang up, you know, into the building. And you know, they had issues with sometimes the police or trying like, don't do that. And like, psh, attack the Koban or something like that. So it got pretty intense at times, right? Today it's very safe. Don't worry. It's intense, but in a good way, not in a scary way. One thing that's actually really, really cool, if you come to visit, and I recommend that you in particular check out, we mentioned Mikoshi at the beginning of the podcast. Mikoshi is, for people that don't know, is a portable shrine. What is a portable shrine, right? It's a shrine, it's a little mini shrine, okay? And inside that shrine, they put the kami, or the spirits or gods, inside the shrine, and you carry it. You carry it around the city, and you take them around, you know, for an adventure, and you then return at the end of the festival, right? And so our city, Seiryu Shrine, has kind of something really, really special. And what happened was they have not one, but two mikoshi, which are designed in a style called Yatsumune style, which is a style you see kind of like on the top of the shrine's main buildings that you might see in like various buildings around Japan, like the shrines, that kind of design, really intricate. And what happened was the people of the village wanted something nice. And they saved and they saved and they saved and they saved. And they gathered this money with like all the power they could muster. And they bought one, right? And then there was like, I guess, like one wealthy guy. And he's like, you know what? I'm inspired. And he bought another one to add to it. So we have two. And across the entire country of Japan, there might be about 10. It's extremely rare. And Seiryu Shrine is the only shrine in Japan that has two of them. So I really recommend that you check it out. The detailing on them is amazing. It's something that the people of the city can appreciate to this day, the craftsmanship. And the people that are like shrine fans, there's kind of like shrine fan groups, are kind of into it as well. So really cool to check out if you get the chance. Okay. What goes into the festival? There's kind of a lead up. Okay, so first of all, like we mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, it happens every 4 years on Olympic years. So easy to remember, if the Olympics are happening, this festival is happening. We actually were not able to hold it for 8 years this time because of COVID, you know, and all the effects of the pandemic. Yeah, wild. So the anticipation was high, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, everybody was waiting.
It was all over the city.
Oh my God. Everybody was talking about it, like the buzz, like everybody was buzzing, everybody's going to check it out. And it was kind of like the lead up was kind of intense. And leading up to it, you'll start to see, and you saw, Chris, right? Like all the decorations start to go up. You start to see lanterns going up. I didn't put it on my Instagram. Maybe I'll put it up tonight if you want to check it out. You know, some things that are very Disney, like we had Oriental Land sponsored lanterns. So if you went to like a certain part of the city, I think it was in, where was it? It was part of, I believe, the west side of the city. They had Oriental Land lanterns, probably all over the city, like probably in other places as well. But like for that area, they had. And it was kind of cool to see. I'm like, oh, Disney. but you have like lanterns, you have like things with like the names of the different businesses that are contributing. I don't know if you remember, but like in Xperia, we used to have Pierre Hermé, and I guess they still contribute to the festival because there was some Pierre Hermé lanterns and it was written in pink, which was kind of cute and kind of interesting, you know, even though they don't have a store in the city anymore. But I'm glad to see that they're still contributing. And so there's a lead up, there's a lantern lighting festival to kind of get everybody excited. And that happens like a little bit before, like a few weeks before. And they have taiko drumming and they had enka singing and they had traditional dance and they had, of course, various yatai or food stalls and like all the different people from around the city were showing up and enjoying it. And then we, you know, get to the actual festival itself. So the actual festival takes place over 3 days. Leading up to it, you'll start to see like mikoshi, portable shrines, appearing all over the city. And they'll have like different decorations around it, like to represent the different teams. So you have like different teams, like the Nakayoshi team, the friendly team, Team Tomioka, our team, which actually built, put together the portable shrine, which I had never seen happen before. My son has started working as a model talent, and they asked him to make a promotional video for the festival, and so they were filming him as he kind of like worked together with the people in the community of the Tomioka community to put together this shrine from like they had the different pieces and they kind of assembled it. We had like an old school Urayasu fisherman like tying the knots, and it was like, he was just like really cool. And they were explaining to him what's going to happen. And so after that's done and they're kind of like around, they're waiting. The first day they do something called Yoimiya. And that is the ceremony to put the spirit or the god inside the portable shrines. So just so you know, if you're thinking about going onto the grounds, if you're a woman, not happening. it kind of like actually caused like I had to catch up with the group later, and it was kind of difficult. I had to like dive through the crowd to like catch up again. But it's really, really mysterious and kind of like, look, I don't come at me, okay? Look, I am not a religious person. I don't really believe in or participate in that, but I am fascinated by it. I'm fascinated by it and ritual. And the ceremony was very, very, very cool and very mysterious. And like, I could almost believe in it, because it felt like really like, I don't know, like the way they did the chanting. And what they do is, so they parade the shrines up to the shrine, the portable shrines, and they go inside. It's kind of hard because the ladies holding the shrine have to leave and the guys have to like carry it in, and they're all in there. And then they turn off all the lights, all the lanterns and all the lights on the shrine grounds. And then they start like chanting and doing the ritual to put the gods inside. And it was very like, it was very like moody, and they would chant and then the wind would start blowing, and it was like a very spiritual experience. And it was really incredible. We had never participated in that before. And so afterwards, then the gods are inside the portable shrine. They say that the portable shrines get heavier afterwards. I don't know, but that's what they say. And then they parade back to their areas, and they'll continue parading around the city for the next 2 days after that. And so the second day, it's pretty much, taking the portable shrines out and about. And then on the third day, what you do is it comes to like a culmination. There's like an area in front of the station where everybody kind of goes around, which is really cool. People parade down the streets. The different routes are online. And then they do something called Miyairi, which is when they return the shrine back at the end, right? So, we've never participated 3 days. My son was being filmed mainly on the first day and on the preparation leading up to the first day. And then he made friends at the after party we went to, which was really fun. Okay. Japanese people know how to do an after party. And he made friends and they're like, hey, come join. We're going to be on a different team. And he's like, okay, I'm coming. They gave him an outfit. He helped out and he stayed all 3 days. We did mostly the first day and the third day, even though I wanted to come on the second day and capture some of the mood at night because it had rained. But I was dead. I'm too old. You know?
I understand. I totally understand.
I can't, right? And yeah, he was there. He was really into it, it's really nice for me to see, because the first time I did it 8 years ago, he took a picture of me and it won in a photo contest. He was competing with adults and he was able to he took a great photo. And now I got to take photos of him, carrying a shrine like 8 years later, which was like an incredible experience as a parent, right? To see him grow up, but let's talk about okay, Chris,
yeah.
And I know events, lots of people,
crowded,
transportation, watch out if you're staying at the hotels. Hey, watch out. You might have a longer route than usual. If you are a local or if you want to go to this festival and you're staying in a hotel, bus times might be running on alternate bus times. If you can get a taxi, probably the easiest way is to go to Udayasa Station, right? And then going home, you might have a little bit of a wait, probably until like the Disney guests go back to their hotels after the park closes. So you might have a little bit of a difficult time getting back. There's buses available, of course. Taxis would be a little bit in demand because, you know, there's a taxi shortage in Japan right now. So watch out for your transportation. What else do you think people might have to worry about, Chris?
I guess because it's rainy season, it could potentially rain.
It could. I mean, rainy season, I do not know if a couple of days a week of rain constitute as a rainy season. There's some sporadic rain that happens during June and the summertime in general. You might have to worry about rain. Yeah. But maybe, I don't know, a little bit, right? Bathrooms. Bathrooms. Okay, here's my bathroom advice, you guys. Sorry to talk about a dirty topic. Bathroom advice. Go to a restaurant if you want to use a bathroom. Purchase something small, you know, eat something there. Get a coffee or whatever. Get a little something to cool down. And use the bathroom there because portable toilets, it gets to be, you know, a whole thing. It's, I don't trust it. I don't want to go to portable toilets. It's never pleasant in whatever country you're in, right?
Portable toilet. Yeah. Portable. No. Porta potties, whatever you want to call them. They're terrible.
Yeah.
No matter where you go. I guess like a lot of like parks will have public toilets as well.
That's true.
If you're near one.
Yeah.
Which is one thing I've always appreciated about Japan is there's always public toilets in the parks.
Yeah.
It's usually hit or miss if they're clean, but it really doesn't, to me, it doesn't matter.
There might be spiders, but you know, it's fine. We can coexist. Yeah.
They're better than porta potties. Let's just say that.
Yes.
They're much better than that.
1,000%.
The only downside is, I guess same with porta potties, is there's usually no soap in the washrooms.
That is true.
And there's usually nothing to dry your hands with. So,
that is also true.
Depending on what you're doing, it's good to have like a hand towel. That's more just general advice for all of Japan. Just have a hand towel with you. One thing that I've started doing, like I have a little bag that has like small things in it.
Oh yeah.
I have that paper soap. You know, yes. it looks like one of those things that you like, those pieces of paper you pull out to put in your mouth, like, you know, those mint papers.
Don't put it in your mouth.
Yeah, it's soap. So you put it between your hands and run water, then you can wash your hands. So I've been buying those. You can get them at Daiso and pretty much anywhere.
Oh, for sure.
I've been using those. So that's a good piece of advice for just washrooms in general.
Absolutely. If you're thinking, hey, what about convenience stores? No go. They're not open because it's just too many people.
Yeah, usually
it would disrupt the business. So
yeah, usually when there's like something happening in the area, the convenience store is like, nope, bathrooms are closed.
Yeah, we're not dealing with this. You know,
which is kind of like, can be kind of annoying. Like, I understand why,
but I get it, because the line, it would just be impossible. They wouldn't be able to function as a business, you know.
And like these convenience stores too, they're usually in these, like, they're in areas where there's not usually a lot of people in them, so they're not big, so they can't really handle, you know, 40-50 people waiting to use the restroom.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work.
No way.
No.
Let's talk about food.
Yeah. Festival food.
So good.
Just fried food, ice cream, noodles, stuff on skewers, the whole shebang.
What's your favorite, Chris?
My go-to is usually yakisoba.
Yakisoba is good.
Like, it's kind of nostalgic for me because when I first came to Japan over 20 years ago.
Oh my God, you were a baby because you were a student, right?
Yeah. As an exchange student, my host family took me to a festival, and one of the things I had was yakisoba. So now it's just kind of this nostalgic thing for me to have yakisoba at a festival. It just brings back good memories, and it's a good food. It's pretty inoffensive.
You cannot go wrong with it, you know?
No. The good stuff has pork in it.
Of course.
The pork and the seasoning and the mayonnaise that you drizzle on the top, and you know, you have your cheap chopsticks that usually don't break in half nicely, you know. And it's in that plastic container that has the rubber band on it. And depending on when you grab it, usually the container is too hot to really hold. You know, it's a whole thing, but it's fun.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. My favorite is those giant like clams that they have.
Oh, yeah.
So good. And my son. Oh, and my other favorite is the choco banana.
I was going to say that the choco banana is so good.
It's so cute and it's really good. You can't go wrong with that, right?
It's very simple.
My son's favorite is squid on a stick.
Oh, see, I...
And actually, it's kind of funny because that used to be like the Spanish version used to be my grandfather's favorite.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, like grandfather, like grandson, like great-grandson, I guess.
Like, I don't mind squid, but I prefer it in like takoyaki.
It's not for everybody. Yeah, I definitely get it. Like the texture is like, you know, for sure enough. Not like I'm always like, you have to, for me, I have to be in the mood for it, you know?
Yeah, it's not one of those things where I just think, oh, that's what I want right now. It's like,
exactly.
Not really. No, thank you. I'm okay.
No. Something really cute, and I probably see it in other places as well, but it's kind of mm-hmm. extra fun in the city, is when they make the candied apple, but it's like in the shape of Mickey.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It's just really cute.
I mean, it's fitting.
It is. What else do you like?
I like, I lost it. What was it? Oh, the potato on the stick, you know, where they slice it up to look like a swirl.
Yeah.
Whatever. So I can't remember what they call it.
Crowd pleaser. It's always good. You can't go wrong with it. You can't.
Like potatoes are universal. Everyone loves potatoes.
Yeah.
And they deep fry it, then they put it in different like seasonings.
Yes.
And stuff. It's just like, how could you go wrong with a spiraled potato deep fried on a stick? You can't go wrong with that.
You can't. It's great.
Absolutely not. No. And then there's always the fun like games for the kids.
Yes. What is your favorite game?
The fishing one.
Oh my gosh, yes.
The fishing one is always cute. And then like kids always win those masks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
let me tell you, those masks have gotten expensive.
And there's,
guess the price.
600 yen.
Mm-mm, not anymore.
900 yen.
Like 1300.
What?
Yes.
That is so much.
Wild.
Oh my goodness. No.
Like the people passing in front of us were in shock. They're like, is that the price now? It's like insane. But they're pretty detailed. Like some of them had like little hanging tassels and stuff. But I'm like, bro, those masks used to be like what? Like a couple hundred yen?
Mm-hmm. And there's always the anime characters, and there's always a Disney character. There's usually a Mickey and then mm-hmm. something else. And yeah. And I love when people don't wear them directly on their face, they kind of wear it like in the back of their head.
You wear it on your face, you can't see well.
You can't see anything. So it's like a stylistic choice when people like wear it on the backside of their head or like
It's like fashion. I mean, even adults, you know, it's a fun thing to wear, you know?
Yeah, it's neat. It looks fun. It's fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. Did you wear like yukata or anything?
No, not this year. Cause we were just like on the go. Like I said, the part where we got separated because of the Yoimiya, my husband asked me to hand him my camera, so I had to hand it to him on the side, And then to catch up with them by the entrance was nearly impossible. I was like, I was literally like diving through people. I'm like, I'm sorry, And I went under the rope and I'm like, you know, I thought I saw where their portable shrine went, but I'm like I got a call and I'm like, you went the same way you came, right? You went the same way you came, because people were going in different directions too. And I thought I saw them go back the same way. And they're like, yes. And I'm like, oh my God, I hope he's like, he heard what I said. And he was not just saying yes randomly, which he sometimes does. And I got behind another portable shrine, and it's like, they're narrow. Some of the streets are really narrow. So I had to like dive in between people to like get to our portable shrine. It was like really intense, but oh my God. Yeah. It's, it can be a lot.
Still fun though. Like,
it's a blast. That's the thing. It's so high energy. One of my favorite moments was, it was like at the end of the first day. And this guy was like super old. Okay. He was in a wheelchair. And he's like, I'm getting up. I'm closing this out. And he climbed up this portable ladder and people are like, are you okay? And he's like, I can do it. And people are like, there's all these people holding him up and he's got like the megaphone and he's like, you guys did so good. And like, you know, closing out the evening. And I was just so impressed by it. And like, just the sense of community and like the bonds of community and people coming together, whether you're actually like participating in a group carrying a portable shrine or you're just part of the city and part of the area and you want to join in, it's like really inclusive. I saw several foreigners actually, which is like kind of interesting because it's not super easy to get into these groups. You have to kind of like have an in. So I love to see it. I love to see people getting involved, you know. Gosh, it's just like a really wonderful event. And we have to wait 4 more years, but I'm excited. I'm already counting down the day. You know.
I wish I was able to go. I was not feeling good.
It's not going anywhere, Chris. You will be able to go.
Yes, yes,
yes.
4 years.
4 years. Maybe we'll be on the same team. Let's do it.
I don't plan to go anywhere, so.
And if you are interested, if you're listening, you're like, oh my God, how do I do this? Can I go? Can I watch this? You can. And actually, the tourist convention really wants to make it easier for inbound tourists to be able to, you know, to not just see the portable shrines up close, but also to be able to view the festival in kind of like a calm way, you know. So they're thinking of creating seating for people who would like to see the festival, who are inbound tourists. So we really want to we're getting started on that already. We're thinking about 4 years in the future. And we also want to make more information available, at least in English. If we can do it in more languages, would be fantastic. But right now, one of the vehicles that we're using for that is on Instagram. It's called Discover Urayasu, and covering events that are happening at the hotels and how you can participate in things like these festivals and the fireworks and other things like that in English with photos so you can see what to expect. And it's just getting started. We just started it. It's with the city. So we hope that can be a great vehicle for information, how you can get involved. And man, we're really looking forward, like 4 years in the future. I can't wait. I can't wait for the next Urayasu Sanja Matsuri.
It's one of those like fun, unique things that people can do here. Because remember when we talked about the celebration hotel and just telling people like, hey, there's things to do around the hotel.
Exactly.
You know? So this is like another like interesting thing to kind of keep tabs on, I guess.
Yeah. Keep in mind, because it's like a really rare experience. And each festival in Japan in each part of Japan, each city, each neighborhood, you know, they have their own traditions. You know, like some people say washoi washoi. In Urayasu, we say maida maida maida. You know, and we spin our portable shrine and we toss it up in the air. You know, and it's pretty intense. But anywhere you go in Japan, they're going to have their unique customs and rituals and ways of doing things. And it's really fascinating, and it's a really great perspective into like the different communities around the country.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just a good way to see that Ureasu is not just Disney. There's other things to do in the city, not just Disney.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And Disney's great. Don't get us wrong. We love Disney, of course. And now we wouldn't be doing this, you know.
You know, if you want to get off the, you know, the typical inbound tourist trail, staying an extra day or two in the city here to do other things other than Disney, you know, there are things to do in the city.
Oh, for sure.
And like, you can take things slow, you know, just have to, you don't have to be running around all the time, you know?
Like, yeah.
You can see the temples and shrines. Mm-hmm. They're in the city here. There's little cute little cafes and things like that, you know, where you don't have to line up with 50 other tourists usually to enjoy. So yeah, just like take the time to explore the city and the surrounding area.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of like other things in the city,
yeah.
I know you mentioned this. I think you mentioned this in the podcast. I can't remember if it was in the podcast or if we talked about it off air, off pod, whatever the phrasing is.
Yeah.
The Hoshino Resort is now open.
I went there.
Yeah. It just opened like a few days ago, didn't it? The 20th?
It did. Yeah.
How is it? I haven't been yet.
We haven't stayed yet. My sister-in-law was staying this weekend. We actually have a reservation for July 4th. I know, cheesy. I get it. America, haha, 4th of July. It's very Americana. Yeah,
it's American themed, right?
Like, it is. It's American themed. 1950s. The aesthetic, not the time. We wouldn't want to go back in time to the 1950s. But the aesthetic is very like cute and like stylish. And yes, it's Americana. And I mean, it's Hoshino Resort. So obviously I know we can expect something good, but I was really impressed with the way they repurposed the hotel, you know, because it's not easy to do. The building was already existing, you know, and
we know that very well.
Yeah,
celebration. Yeah, we do. Celebration hotel. Yeah.
Celebration. Take some notes. Okay. One of the things that I love. Actually, you know what? We'll probably get into this in more detail, but they have this concept of the second room, which is they took what used to be like, I guess, like meeting spaces or like the kind of like those like spaces where people have like gatherings and things like that. And they made it this massive lobby-esque area. There's this one place in the middle where you can just roll around, take naps on cushions. There's private rooms with curtains. There's little mini living room setups like in like 1950s furniture. There's games and toys that are kind of like retro-esque. There's old Life magazines, which are wild to flip through and look at the articles. We should probably talk about it in more detail like once we actually stay there. But man, it was so great that we made a reservation right away because it looks really fun.
Oh my God. Okay. I did not realize it's literally behind the Celebration Hotel.
Yeah, it is.
I know where it is now. It's like, between the two buildings.
It used to be Tokyo Hotel.
Yeah. So Tokyo Disney Celebration is two buildings and it's separated by a road. And I always saw the road that went back there. And I just saw like, there's a big park and everything. I didn't realize there was a building, like the hotel was back there. Okay. I know where that is now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I need to stay there as well.
And it's very affordable, like extremely affordable. And I like that they're really honest about it. They're like, hey, we're not next to Disney and we know it. And so our rates are going to be on the lower side. This is how you do a value hotel, like well-themed, low price, high quality. you know?
Mm-hmm. Just doing like a quick check. I'm not doing like in-depth looking or anything. Looks like it starts at about 17,000 yen a night. That sounds a little high, but...
That sounds a little high. I think that's a bit high. It depends on what room you're staying in. I think it goes much lower than that.
Yeah, it's just a quick look on the through Google. Like 17,000 Japanese yen is about 110 US dollars, if you want to compare it that way.
Yeah, but I think it goes much lower than that. I think our rate that we got, and we got a bunk bedroom, which is a little bit more, was cheaper than that. Yeah, go through the hotel website.
Oh my goodness. Ippaku, hitori, one night, one person. 5,000 yen.
It goes pretty low, depending on the type of room.
That is quite affordable.
Mm-hmm. It's super affordable.
Oh, wow. It's quite booked up, too.
Yeah. Well, they have a really good reputation. Actually, yeah, one of the places I want to stay, it's not open yet.
Uh-huh.
But it's the Hoshino, the one where it's kind of like this really historic prison. And they repurposed the prison, or they're repurposing the prison as a hotel.
Oh, and it involves
like a museum. So actually it was a collaboration. And so part of the deal that they got was, if you're going to use this property, you have to have a museum to talk about the history of the structure and the prison. So there's like going to be a museum inside of it as well.
Hmm.
It sounds really cool though.
It does. Yeah, just looking at the hotel rates, it's quite affordable. Yeah.
It's super affordable. Yeah. So, and yeah, it is a value hotel. Like, we'll get into it, but it is a value hotel. Yeah. So it's like, it is like, in some ways, you know, it's, you're not going to have things like room service, you know, and the structure is already built. So you're not going to have things like a pool, but what it does have, they do extremely well.
Yeah. I've seen some stuff online, so I should probably do something on that. Oh, they would have a shuttle too to the parks.
Of course they do. Yeah, the shuttle's really cute.
Yeah, they do have a shuttle. I saw it going down the bloody street.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you want a very budget stay, you know, if you don't care about the Disney perks, why not? And then, like, you get that nice local feel.
Yeah, like one of the things that my sister-in-law, they were like, they decided to do was the next day, you know, trampolines right there. And so they're like, let's do trampoline, you know, on the day that we're leaving.
Yeah, you have the Sogo Park on one side and then the cemetery on the other.
Yeah.
It's a big cemetery.
Cemetery view. You like spooky. Yeah, my son and I always joke about the cemetery view. We're like, Halloween, cemetery view.
I didn't realize.
Nice for us because this part is not nice, but my father-in-law is buried there. But you could, you know, the room that she was staying in actually had the cemetery view. And we're like, oh, in a way, we're all kind of together, you know? So it was kind of nice to be able to look out and think about him. But it's actually not super, I thought it would be more noticeable than it is. It's not super, if you didn't know what it was, you might not hit on that it's a cemetery. But yeah, there's definitely a cemetery view. And if you like spooky things, I guess maybe that's a nice place. Yeah. And you also have even in that view, you have a really nice massive view of the ocean, which is part of their philosophy. They like to incorporate the place that they're in into the design of the hotel. So there's these really great ocean views from the rooms.
Yeah, because it's right on the bay. Like, that's as close as to the Tokyo Bay you're going to get.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. Yeah. And there's a park right there, which is also, it's a big park.
The only thing that's such a shame is that Mangekyo is gone.
Oh, yeah. That closed this month.
Yeah, I think they're tearing it down. So I don't know what they're going to do there.
Frustrating, but
bummer.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it for this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to do something on the Hoshino Resort. Maybe after you stay and then I stay or something, we can talk about it.
Let's do it. And I know some other listeners have definitely asked about it. Like they messaged me on Instagram. So yeah, I think it's definitely something that people would like to hear about.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people want to know about like the other hotels. Like we've talked about the Disney hotels to death. We've mm-hmm. talked about them a lot. And we sort of talked about other hotels, but I don't think we've talked about them enough to give mm-hmm. like other options, right?
Yeah.
Because like you don't have to stay at a Disney hotel. I mean, of course it's nice. They're nice hotels. Mm-hmm. But there are definitely other options out there for different budgets and different reasons. And maybe you're staying a really long time or you want to do split stays and stuff. Because, you know, staying at a Disney hotel gets very expensive.
Oh, for sure.
If you want to stay there for quite a few nights, you know, that does add up. So, you know, you can end up saving yourself some money by doing a couple nights at the Disney hotels and then moving to a different one in the area if you want to. You know, there's plenty of ways to do this. Anyway, that's a whole other episode. but before we go, though, we want to thank some wonderful explorers who are supporting us over on Patreon. So if you want to support the show, head on over to patreon.com/TDRnow. So a big thank you to Acro Disney Girl, Adam, Amanda C, Amy B, Amy C, Mama Explorer, Benjamin, Brent M, Carrie, Crispy, Claire, Claudia, Dave, David, Baker, Kevin, Harry, Marina, Beth, Eli, Abby, Robinson, and Taylor.
And Jamie, Jose, Kathy, Lee, Marie, Michelle, Murray, Sophie, Spoopy, Thomas, Kay, Alexandra, Lizzie, Amy, and Andy, Dana, Cassandra, Annie, Sonia, WW, Paige, and Tara.
And if you haven't already, we invite you to join our community by hitting that subscribe or follow button on the podcast app of your choice. This way you won't miss any of our newest episodes and can stay up to date with everything theme parks here in Japan and festivals and 1955 themed hotels. 1955 is a very specific year.
Oh, because it's the year Disneyland opened.
Oh my goodness. I did. Okay, that's clever.
See
that?
See what they did there? See what they did there? They're like, oh.
You know what I would have loved if they made a 1983 one?
Oh my gosh. That'd be so
and
cool.
Made it retro 80s themed. Because you know what? We're far enough from the 80s now, you could do that.
It's true.
An entire hotel themed to 1983. I would love that. Even though I don't really remember the 80s all that much. I was born in 85, so I was I still remember the tail end of it, but still I was there. I existed in the 80s. Oh my goodness, Hoshino Resorts open up in 1983 next. buy another hotel in the area and make it 1983. And then maybe in like another 10 years, buy another one and theme it to 2001.
Oh my God.
How amazing would that be? That would be fantastic.
It's so weird to think about, but no, I would. It would be, I think it would be really popular.
The 2001 would have Britney Spears and Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and oh all those.
I feel so old.
Okay. Anyway. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, Chief Content Editor for TDR Explorer. I'm on YouTube and all that fun stuff. Joining as always is the charismatic and wonderful Patricia.
You guys, you can find me on Instagram and Threads at Dream Suites Love, and I'm part of the team for Discover Urayasu if you're interested in what's happening around the city and the places to explore. Thank you so much for listening, and yeah, see you next time.
All right, explorers. Later.
Bye-bye.